Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozgoz.
Are you ready, guys? Put your guns on!
That was eerily accurate.
In today's episode, we're talking about Sengoku Basara Samurai Kings the Movie, aka Sengoku Basara Movie The Last Party, a movie from 2011. I chose this one because Gozgoz suggested it and I couldn't think of a reason not to watch it. It was produced by Production IG, the studio behind Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex and one episode of Pokemon Origins, which we covered on this podcast. Sengoku Basara Samurai Kings the Movie has a MyAnimeList score of 7.59.
Hey.
Sengoku Basara is a series of Dynasty Warriors-style Musou games by Capcom, which first released in 2005. In the West, the first one was known as Devil Kings. The others, not all of them have released in the West, but the others were known as Sengoku Basara. It's had more than 10 games, with the latest one being released in 2016. My summary is, with one man wanting to unite the warring factions and stop the fighting, it's up to everyone else to fight and never stop fighting. Artura, what do you have?
Watch the ending of Sengoku Basara's two-season anime, as Datema Samurai embarks on another war, this time against the war itself.
Shit.
Goes.
Sengoku Jidai is closing to a climax, as all the major players are heading to Sekigahara for a final party. Will they just get it on, or will they take it to the next level and work on their bonds? Why not both?
Made me laugh when they said, let's get it on, and...
Yeah, I know.
And that's a euphemism for sex.
I'm going to be honest with you. When you guys said we were going to watch Sengoku Basara, I was like, that's a game? I've always known it as an anime. But like, the whole time I've actually known about it, I've just known it as an anime. I actually had to Google. Yeah, you had to Google that it was a what kind of video game it was because I had no idea originally.
So have you seen the anime? Or?
I've seen very little of it because my wife's ex-girlfriend really likes the anime and she used to send clips and I've seen some things and that's how I got introduced to it. So I was really shocked when I found that it was a video game.
Oh. Yeah, I think a bunch of people in the West would get introduced to it through the anime because... Yeah, it didn't. Most of the games in the series are Japan exclusive. And again, the first one, the very first game, they released it worldwide. But in the West, they renamed it to Devil Kings and like changed names and everything. Like they tried to remove all the Sengoku connections. They get generic names like Oda Nobunaga is the Devil King. Which is accurate, but yeah.
Oh, like they didn't do that in the anime movie that we just watched. Each character has four names.
Yeah, but they are the real names.
I know they're real names, but I have an online name and a real name, and that's it. I have this name, and then other people call me this name, and this person calls me this name, and I'm also known... Oh, God. Making notes on this was hell.
Yeah, I think... With the whole IP, it's a bit of a clash that the action is so over the top and like there's like magic and demon stuff that you don't have so much in Dynasty Warriors or Samurai Warriors. And then a lot of the stuff is super serious and like the language they use seems like from the period. Like they don't say things like... They almost say everything in a romantic way. I don't know what of a better way to describe that.
No, I get that. One of the characters in the movie, the subtitles, he was speaking kind of Shakespearean almost.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, onto the plot of Sengoku Basara movie The Last Party. I prefer that name, honestly. We get 4 minutes of character names and vague plot elements from the anime. Just... getting us up to date. Then we see Ishida Mitsunari crying over Hideyoshi's death in the destruction of a castle, which happened at some point in the anime. And that's our introduction to that character before a title song, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I was really glad that they I mean, I saw the film when it first came out because I'm a big fan. But yeah, when I first saw it, I was really happy that they included an opening song. Because usually in a movie, you don't do that. You do it in a show that you see like every week.
Yeah, I was quite shocked to see the main theme playing. I was like, oh my gosh, what? Are you kidding? It was quite good too. I really liked it. The like almost 4 minute introduction, not so much.
The 60 names thrown at you, and it's like, I have no idea who any of these people are.
I was actually more confused after the introduction. I was like, oh, thanks. I know who Date Masamune is, and now the rest of the people, now I don't know anything.
Yeah, thanks to Persona 5 Strikers, I knew who Date Masamune was.
And then from there, it just managed to confuse me more.
Yeah, I think there's, like, they definitely, like, mention characters that aren't that consequential in the story that we see in the film.
Yeah, I started making a note of names, and I was like, no, I'll write them down as they come up in the movie, and it's a good thing I did.
You would have wasted so much time.
Yeah.
Like, they mention Takeda Shingen and Uesugi Kenshin, and they appear in one, well, Shingen appears in two scenes, but yeah, like, even without mentioning them in the catch-up thing, like, you get it, like, they were rivals and one beat the other, blah, blah, blah. You didn't need to include them in the recap.
During the title song, we see some scenes of... At first, I assumed it was all, like an anime star. It's stylized. Yeah, sure, this thing happens in the show, but not this exact way. And as the title sequence ended... It turns out that Ishida has been killing some people like he had been in the title sequence. I wasn't sure quite when the title sequence stopped being illustrative and became, this is what is actually happening right now. Because it cuts to Ishida killing some people, then they run off, and then he kills some more people. And then we're introduced to Date Masamune showing up on his horse that appears to have exhausts.
Yes, and handlebars.
And handlebars, yeah.
And I will say that that's not game accurate. It's anime exclusive, but it's so awesome.
It's like a motorbike, but no, it's actually a horse.
I mean, the exhausts don't do anything. Like, they're decoration, basically.
I half expected the horse to fly with those acting as like jet boosters or something, and the handlebars was how he turned it, but nope, it's just horse.
Well, like, he doesn't... Like, I feel like at some point in the show he holds the handlebars, but usually he just has his arms crossed and that's how he rides the horse.
That's how he did it in the movie, at least, just arms crossed.
Like, why do you have the handlebars? Like, I mean, again, they're decorative.
For bumpy roads, of course.
So Ishida attacks him, and the two have a fight. They cause so much destruction, it kills a bunch of people with a shockwave. At least I assume they're dead because we never see them again. And then Masamune decides he's had enough, jumps on his horse, rides off, and the horse jumps over a gorge. And into the far distance. So while it was a horse that could not fly, that's a flying horse.
I'm pretty sure that in the show those horses like ride up walls and stuff like that.
Okay, I'm going to get into something later about the horses, so hold on to that thought.
Of course you will, because that's really memorable scene.
So then we see Yukimura witnessing the execution by his Lord Shingen of the rival, presumably Lord Kenshin, but they're stopped by Ayusei, who arrives on the back of a flying cyborg.
Yeah, that's the flying guy. The cyborg is actually Honda Tadakatsu, who's known as the greatest warrior from the Sengoku period. So in Sengoku Basara, they just made him have a mech suit.
I couldn't work out if it was a mech suit or because you see his face and at one point, and so I just wrote cyborg.
Well, it was close enough.
Yeah, they don't really They don't really draw attention to that robot quality and the flying. He's just Honda Tadakatsu. He's the greatest warrior of Sengoku period. He's just like this. There's nothing weird about him.
And Aiyusu rides on him with his arms crossed and stood up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aiyusu pledges to stop the cycle of violence that Shingen is partaking in, which moves Shingen into allowing Kenshin to live. And then Aiyusu flies off on his cyborg. Yukimura speaks to Shingen, saying that he wants to join the quest for peace. And Shingen agrees to let him join the quest for peace before punching him through a wall. They're both so happy that they scream each other's name over and over while beating the crap out of each other, and they destroy a house. And I've got to say, I was confused.
I mean, at this point is when I was like, okay, so this is satirical. Like, I guess, you know, the war leader saying brah or the cyborg weren't obvious enough for me. No, I needed an entire house to be destroyed for me to realize, oh, so this isn't very serious.
Forgot about brah.
The brah was just, I lost my respect for Dante at that point.
Well, yeah, it's like pretty over the top, and like, I don't know, like the relation between Yukimura and Shingen, like Shingen is the mentor and Yukimura is his protege, and like they have a weird relationship where they yell at each other and punch each other, like a weird bromance, I don't know.
See, what I took from this scene is that I hadn't watched enough Sengoku Basara for me to actually enjoy the movie as much as I should. Because I can only assume that, you know, there's a lot of nods to the anime that I missed. And that you just proved it there.
I mean, I'm not sure if there's a lot of nods. Like, that's something that happens. Like them screaming at each other, but I think that from that scene you can just get it. Like they love each other, but they are weird about that. I mean, love each other as in the student teacher way.
Yeah, no homo, of course.
That's so something Dante would say.
And like you get Sarutobi Sasuke reacting to it, like he could have just retired the normal way.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I think that cements the fact that their relationship is weird and people around them think it's weird and they are just weird about it.
So Masamune in the next scene returns home to his army, and as soon as he arrives his armor explodes, as do his veins from delayed reaction to the sword fight.
So I actually have a logic for this. You know those scenes in samurai movies where they kind of like two people slash at each other and then they sheath their weapons and then one of them gets injured? I can only assume the bad guy just sheathed his weapon.
Sorry, it had been unsheathed this entire time.
It had been unsheathed, and when he did it, the impact finally happened.
He was like, oh, I didn't sheath this yet.
Yeah.
And like looks in the distance like it was a normal thing to do.
Then we see Ishida is fine because he's praying at a shrine, while a character called Magistrate, Ida had another name, but this is the one that they kept calling him.
It's Otani Yoshitsugi or Gyobu.
Like Gyobu the demon from Sekiro. Does it have any relation? Because I do know that Sekiro took place in the Edo period as well.
I don't know about Sekiro.
Okay, well, Magistrate's floating on a table next to Ishida, and they make plans to get Masamune to come to them rather than them go to Masamune. Ishida gives the Magistrate do whatever, it's fine. Which clearly is not something you should do to your evil co-worker, but we cut back quickly to Masamune, who has survived his time-delayed wounds, but he's still injured. Presumably some time has passed.
Like a day. It's next day.
Oh, it's the next day? I assumed it was longer, and there was just like a really bad transition there.
I assumed it was longer too, because someone comes over and talks about how Ishida's raised an army and they've been raising villages. Yeah, different raises. Raised an army and they're raising villages.
Oh. A journalist is at work.
they burned an army and they are building villages. But no, like, in terms of the how the time passes, it's like, it's never specifically, they never specifically state how much time passes, just some time passed.
For the sake of the comedy, we're going to assume it was an hour.
We get the narrator updating us on what Ayasu and some others are up to before we get a flashback from Ayasu. Turns out that Ishida wanted to work with Ayasu to get vengeance, but Ayasu does not want to fight, so they have a fight.
Basically, the scene establishes that Mitsunari is a dumbass, and he's really angry.
We cut to a Lady Oichi killing civilians with magical hands as Father Tenkai and Kingo watch. Kingo also had two names. One was in the dub, the other was in the sub, before they start calling him Kingu in the dub as well, so I just decided to call him that. Magistrate floats over to join Tenkai and Kingo and hints that he's not just working for Ishida's benefit, as we had assumed. And then we cut to sometime later when Matsumune's men are riding horses and maybe delivering something, when one of them is knocked off his horse by a crow. I laughed.
And then Itachi popped up.
It lets them meet Medea. Maeda?
Maeda Keiji.
It does allow them to meet Maeda Keiji on his way to meet Matsumune. So they're going the same way. As it turns out, the crow was actually delivering a letter from Ayasu. We see various generals receiving the same letter, saying that instead of peace, Ayasu wants war. But if everyone gathers in one place on the 15th of September, they can maybe avert that. Yukimura doesn't believe that the letter is real, and one of his men agrees that the letter smells suspicious. Literally, it smells like hot pot. I had to assume that was a nod to the anime.
No, it's like, there is mentions of, like, Kingo's hot pot, and I mean, at the end, he makes it. And, like, that apparently that's how they figured out that he did it. Like, he's the only person in the world that...
cooks hot pot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like Ayasu had hot pot while he was writing the letters. But Yukimura leads his men on horses and meets Masamune leading his men the other way, because Yukimura is going to meet up, and Masamune is going to fight Ayasu.
No, Masamune is going to fight Mitsunari, and Yukimura is going to see Ayasu.
Sorry, I got the names mixed up.
No, it's fine. Like, I feel like such an asshole for...
It's fine. Please get the podcast correct. But yeah, there's a reason that I did not watch this, any of this, subbed. I had the subtitles on, but I was watching the dub the whole time because I would have been lost.
Yeah, that was a big reason why I suggested it, because when I saw it, I saw the, like, Japanese with subtitles, and the dub came out later, and, like, if there was no dub, I wouldn't suggest this, because it would be super hard to follow.
Yeah, they're going the opposite ways, so they bid each other a good day before deciding, no, actually, they're going to have a fight, because they are rivals, and this is where they had their first fight. Coincidentally.
When they did that, was it supposed to be to the death?
It sounded like it.
Yeah, because see, what Date said here, I was really confused, but it sounded like he wanted to be cheered up. I don't know. I was watching the Japanese version, obviously a bad idea since you both agreed on it. And like, I got a little confused here because it struck me like he didn't particularly want him dead, but at the same time, they wanted to have a death duel and they were going to go at it. So I was confused.
I mean, again, like, I think the whole film, like, deals with the idea that we're fighting and, like, we're fighting to the death. And we can't just fight for sport or for fun or whatever. Yeah, so, like, everyone's attitude seems to be, like, if we're fighting, one of us will die. But we love to fight. That's really what what they are after is the fighting.
They're extremists, basically.
Well, this is actually the scene where I wanted to bring the horses back up. During their fight, they swap horses, and Yukimura spins Masamune's horse like Sonic the Hedgehog. I laughed so much, my wife was concerned. I had to do it back so to show her, and it made me laugh again.
It was just honestly horrible because, see, my wife was sleeping when I was watching this, and then when she woke up, I was like, I have something to show you. So I, at this point, it's such an iconic scene that I just couldn't not show it to her.
It's like riding towards Masamune, and then he digs his spears, his lances, whatever they are, into the ground and spins the horse multiple times.
It's a great fight scene because it like escalates. Like they start riding their horses, like standing on top of them. Then comes the spin, and then they just jump high into the sky.
Oh yeah, the horses go up in the air. We don't see them land.
Oh no!
Actually, I'm not sure if they come back. Do they?
They are later on horses. One of which has handlebars.
You just see them flying off.
I couldn't swear they're the same horses.
Well, I think we can assume that the horses went off to have their own little fight off screen.
The final scene we ever saw the horses in is just them falling off, and the horses look like they're not going to have a nice fall.
Well, the fight is stopped by Maida, so the pair decide to fight him for a few moments.
Yeah, again, they're so caught up in like fighting each other that if you interrupt them, they just get mad. Because, like, we're having fun here!
We're having fun fighting to the death.
They got mad because blood hadn't been spilled yet. They just decided to go to have a go at him, too.
But since Maida is there, that means that Masamune's men are there as well. Because they were delivering something, and they give it to him. And he says he'll wear it with pride, and we don't see what it is until later. Spoilers. The next scene, we check back in with Lady Oichi and Father Tenkai. We find out that Kingo forged the letters, and now everyone hates Kingo because apparently they worked it out. But Father Tenkai does say, oh, perhaps you could, to make it up to them, you could cook your hot pot. So we get a flashback from Ishida because apparently Hideyoshi was his only reason to live. So it's more yaoi feelings from that scene. Then we get a brief scene for some reason where we see Yukimura and Masamune's armies riding along, heading to the meetup, as we'd assumed they would be, before we see the meetup. And Yukimura and Masamune's armies aren't there yet. And they're gathered around a crater, which in the center is a kaiju-sized hot pot with ingredients somehow also being kaiju-sized. Mm. Like this giant bowl of hot water with a massive fish and a massive carrot.
This is the scene that proves that Kingo's the strongest character in the anime.
Ayu say flies in on his cyborg and confronts Kingu, but forgives him because his intentions were good. And then, since everyone's already there, Ayu say addresses them, all of the armies, just as Yukimura and Masamune have finally arrived. Ayu say gives a speech, Maida gives a speech, Yukimura gives a speech, Ayu say gives another speech. And everyone decides, or starts to decide, that yeah, maybe peace is the right way. So let's all go into the center for some hot pot. And Masamune stops them just in time for Ishida to arrive with an army that attacks. My note says Mori Motonari also attacks and somehow convinces everyone to attack everyone else. I don't remember which one Mori Motonari was. Was he the one in the castle with wheels?
Yeah, I like how casually you said that.
Yeah, he's a green guy with wheels in a castle with wheels. No, he's a green guy with one big wheel, and he's riding in a castle with wheels. like a parade.
Yeah, and because he's attacking, everyone decides to attack everyone else instead of, you know, him and Ishida's army. But yeah, everyone, even the people wanting peace and an end to the fighting, start fighting each other. Off in to the sidelines, Father Tenkai and Magistrate gloat about everyone in the crater dying, and this is better than they had hoped. We see Lady Ochi is in the crater, making magic hands appear out of corpses, so the corpses are creating more corpses, which is creating more corpses. Meanwhile, Mori, late to the party as he was, is attacked by a land pirate called Chokusabi.
Well, he's an actual pirate, but he put wheels on his ship.
On his ship, all right, okay. And I'm not actually sure what's propelling his and Mori's mobile attack platforms, but there's a cyborg, so I didn't question it too much.
Yeah.
Ishida goes Super Saiyan and tries to cut off Masamune's head, but the gift his men gave him was a collar that cannot be cut, it seems.
Set up, pay off.
As Masamune is pulling his final attack, Ayusei manages to prevent it from being fatal somehow.
Say what is the name of the attack.
I did not make a note of that.
It's called Jumping Jack Breaker. Heals that out. So, yeah. He also yells that out in the Japanese. I mean, that's Masamune's thing, that he uses English phrases.
Oh, like Vegeta in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, I don't know about Vegeta.
He does it all the time.
Vegeta says Big Bang Attack even in the Japanese version.
Oh.
Oh, no, Dante just speaks English sporadically.
He says party and climax and you see.
It's how you know that this character is cool, because they're speaking English instead of Japanese.
Yep.
There's a solar eclipse. And Lady Ochi gains power, making more hands and bigger hands. Kingu notices what's happening and tells people to run, and the kaiju-sized hot pot is tipped over by something even bigger. It turns out that that something was containing Oda Nobunaga, who is reborn. I didn't know he was dead. And starts slaughtering the remaining troops. I mean, it was over an hour ago that I saw that four-minute bit at the start, so if he was introduced in that, I had forgotten completely.
Basically, this guy pulls off a Madara, resurrects, and starts killing everyone really hard.
But of course, the protagonists all team up and attack and get beaten. And for some reason, Magistrate joins in, despite this being his plan after all. I mean, maybe he doesn't want Ishida to die after all, but that's another yaoi moment, I suppose. The Magistrate is killed, but managed to do something to the ground. I would assume the orbs he was throwing around were made of salt. So he salted the ground, and I'm sure you all know salt stops ghosts and demons from crossing.
Yep.
And the protagonists attack Nobunaga. They attack him with a single attack each and think that they've killed him, like idiots. Somewhere else, Lady Oichi wakes from apparently having been knocked out. Just in time for Father Tenkai to find her and attempt to kill her, but she kills him. Well, slices him in half, and then they throw in some funny dialogue as the magic hands start to, quote-unquote, eat him. It's just really out of place.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that his death is, like, so hilarious, just the way he falls down after he's cut down.
Like, I mean, he's cut in half. That's enough. You don't need to, oh no, don't eat me! What?
I don't taste good.
That's right.
And he also says, when he gets cut off, he's like, oh, I'm out of alignment.
Yeah, that was good. So the protagonists are not doing well, but Ishida cuts through Nobunaga by holding a sword in his teeth, and that still doesn't quite kill him. So Oichi sees her husband, I think that's what the opening narration said over an hour ago, and she goes to hug Nobunaga, who turns out to be her brother, apparently, and that manages to drag him back to hell.
Yeah, she drags him back to hell.
Everything starts to crumble, and because the ground had risen up, that starts to fall down. The protagonists all start falling to their deaths, only to be saved by Kingu in the kaiju hot pot bowl, which is being lifted by the cyborg. Sentences that never existed before today. And after everything's calmed down, everyone decides to have one last one-on-one fight. And the end credits play over a fantastic song with everyone dancing.
The ending is actually like another anime only thing, is that like for every season they had like an opening song with the dance routine, and yeah, it's basically that's what it is, that's what the ending is.
Okay, I really like choreographed dancing, so I'm actually gonna have to look those based just on the dancing. I added the song to my Spotify playlist.
Another thing I like about the ending and the opening, actually, those are done by TM Revolution, who also, I think, they did opening songs for every single game also.
Oh.
So it's like, I like their songs in general, but I feel like it makes the anime more accurate to the games, I guess. It has the same feeling because of that.
Yeah, it's good. Before we move on to was it a good adaptation? I just want to ask, do you guys know why it was called The Last Party? Because it wasn't until the song that I realized why it was called that.
No, why?
Battle of Sekigahara, where this takes place, is considered the last battle of the Sengoku period. After that, it's pretty much end of the fighting. Like, it's everyone just going to that one place to battle, and whoever wins will be the ruler, whatever. So I think The Last Party is a reference to that.
Yes, that is right, because Date Masamune keeps saying that a fight is a party. Multiple times he says, oh, let's get this party started, and we're gonna have a party, and he means a fight. And yeah, so it's the last fight, tying up the entire anime series, so it has layers to it. I like that. It's better than Sengoku Basara Samurai Kings the movie.
Yeah, it's way more meaningful. I really appreciate that it has an actual reason rather than just because.
Yeah, the song mentions party, and then I realized, oh wait, last party, last fight. Like,
it's the opposite from Fatal Fury Legend of the Hungry Wolf. Which I still don't understand why it's the Legend of the Hungry Wolf.
So was this a good adaptation, Arturo?
I think so. The fights were so extreme. They're very much like Dynasty Warrior games.
Goz, you're the learned scholar in this conversation.
Yeah, again, like, I only played the couple games that were released in the West, but yeah, this is pretty much how the games go.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that there was lots of people fighting. There's some special moves. Seems about right from what I saw. I had a quick look.
Bunch of very small armies getting destroyed by the bigger people.
Yeah, your basic Musou. So was this a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a meh? Arturo?
The first half was a thumbs up. The second half was a thumbs down, so I'm giving it a meh.
Goz?
I think just because of the action, it's a thumbs up. But I mean, there's some problems. Like, I would bring more focus on Oichi and the magistrate and Ishida's relationship. Like, those seemed a bit come out of nowhere if you didn't watch the show. But yeah, everything else, like the action, the animation, the characters, everything felt right to me. And like, the story wasn't, like, it was fine. The story was fine.
Actually, can I change my answer to a thumbs up?
Okay.
It just feels a bit unfair to give it a meh based on the fact that, like, it was really well done. I feel like this is a good ending for Sengoku Basara. It's just, it isn't completely for me because of its weird ending. But at the same time, you are right. The animations were really pretty. The action sequences were really cool. I agree. It's a thumbs up.
For me, it's a meh.
Oh, how dare you. How dare you. We're done. That's the last episode.
The thing that saved it from being a thumbs down was that end song. It was a really good song. Yes, it was well animated, but I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea about these characters. It's not the best entry into the franchise for someone who has never experienced the franchise in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, that's a very good point.
You're not allowed to change your answer again.
What? But why? We don't have a limit.
What's hard to understand? There's a bunch of people going to one place to fight each other because they're dumb.
But yeah, no, you make a very good point. If, as an entry point to the anime and all that, no, this is absolutely awful. Like, I was lost. I was confused. The 4 minutes managed to confuse me more. What is up with the horses? I guess the horses are what saves it from a thumbs down. Because that Sonic spin was, like, you know, respectable. But oh my gosh. That's a really good point. It really depends, I guess, if you really like the anime. If you like the... Like, it's bizarre. This movie was just bizarre is what it is.
I think, like, those characters, like, I think they're really entertaining characters in the games, and, like, getting them right in an anime form is, like, the main thing that you do to make this entertaining.
Yeah, but Date Masamune says bra.
Thumbs down.
Oh, okay. Actually, the thing about Masamune and his forces is, like, they made him like a Bosozoku, like, his whole army is, like, Bosozoku, like, Japanese biker gangs. And, like, that's why he uses English words, like, slang almost, and...
Actually, in the dub, his men refer to him as boss, even though in the sub it says lord. So they were kind of like a biker gang.
Okay, I guess I can forgive Date. I guess.
Yeah, and that one guy has like a pompadour, like that goes extra forward. Like that's very, very Bosozoku like. They have those hairstyles, and again, I could go for hours about Masamune's whole design. Like, I love that. I'll do it. Did you get that? He's so they call him. Like, in history, they call him Dokugan Ryu, which is One-Eyed Dragon, because he lost his eye and he's a great commander. But in this, like, he uses 6 swords, 3 in one hand, so that's like Dragon's Claws. And his...
Oh, God, I forgot to write a note about the
Oh my god, I forgot
swords.
To mention Japanese Wolverine.
And... and his scabbards, so 3 on one side, they have like... Between each of the scabbard, there's like cloth, so that's like dragon's wings.
I'm sorry, all I can see is Samurai Wolverine. Like, when I saw him fight like that, you see, B fights really cool in Naruto with several swords. So when I saw the several swords, I was like, oh, cool. And then he goes and just pulls a Wolverine. I was disappointed is kind of like a small word.
Oh, well, I think it's cool because, like, he doesn't always use 6 swords. Sometimes he uses 1. Sometimes he has all 6 in one hand and hits someone with that. Yeah, great. Like, makes him feel like he's really skilled, even though that makes no sense in reality. But
wait, how
matter.
On earth does he hold 6 swords in one hand? I'm trying to hold 6 knives in one hand and I can't.
By holding 3 swords between
You're
your
clearly
fingers.
Clearly not skilled enough at all.
I guess I should have gone to samurai school.
Okay, well, thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, find us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. And until next time, game on.